Welcome to the Christian Center Church Podcast. If you'd like to sow into this ministry, you can do so at the link below. Thank you for joining us, and we hope the message today will bless you.
Give them a big hand clap, and they'd be saved today, man. We appreciate them. All right, good deal. All right. I tell you, I'm pushing in, holding on. How many are pushing in, holding on? Now, you can do the other. I tell people, I said, if you're too far up, turn loose, the fall will kill you. You got to hold on, amen. Sometimes I look like that cat with that knot tied in that rope, hanging on. That's what I look like. But, you know, that's on a Friday, I guess, and then I make it through Saturday, and I finally get to church on Sunday and look like I can face next week, amen. So, all right, we want to continue today. We want to continue. We've been speaking on the fivefold ministry. We want to talk about the pastor today, or the shepherd, more so. And you know that... Now, if you're not here often, you'll find out I'm always off calendar. Now, that next 2 weeks, I might speak on Mother's, so be here. So if you're looking for Mother's Day message, be here in 2 weeks. We might get you covered. But I always seem like I get off calendar. Never have really been a calendar man, but if you're led by the Lord, you probably won't be a calendar person. But anyway, but calendars are good. Schedules are good. Amen. You know, I got a niece and a granddaughter. Schedules are meant to be broken. Amen. They're meant to be late. Amen. So, but I noticed that they're not late for the ball field. She's an old ball player. They at the right time for the ball player. Amen. But you know, the term pastor, you know, when it can be translated as shepherd, you know. Jesus himself said that he was a great shepherd. How many of y'all believe he's a great shepherd? Amen. You know, now you got to understand that being a sheep, there's nothing terrifying about being a sheep. You know, you got lions, tigers, and bears. They scratch you up. You know, they got something just fall on you and claw you, and you're in trouble. But the best the sheep can do is show you his teeth. That's about the biggest thing it can do. I guess a sheep show his teeth, look like it's smiling, and that's about the only thing that a sheep. Nothing very terrifying about a sheep, amen. That's why you need a shepherd. That's why you need one greater than you. That's why we need someone to be in our defense. Can you say amen? You know, that a pastor or a shepherd, you know what he does? He cares for sheep. Cares about him. You know, I've had people tell me over the past couple of years, he said, you know, I feel like you care about us, or I feel like I have a pastor, or I feel like that God's doing something. You know why? Because they're out there by themselves, and everybody needs to be in and be collective and come in, but you got to want to be in. Can you say amen? You know, but you know, as a pastor, I try to know people. I try to see where they're at. I try to understand those people. And some people, I guess, I may never really understand, but, you know, if you have the Father with you, you have the Spirit of God with you, that doesn't mean I have to understand you as I think I do. I want to understand you from the pastorship. I want to understand you from the way the Father understands you. Can you say amen? You know, how y'all know that he likes you and loves you just like you are? Now, there's room for improvement, most of it, amen. You know, there's probably, if it gets to myself, when it comes to things being wrong, it's probably nothing but two or three hundred things with me, amen. So there's room for improvement. There's room that the Lord loves you, amen. And you know, the pastor should be willing to rescue sheep. You know, some sheep need rescuing, but they don't feel like you need rescuing. You know, some got to catch you by the nape of the neck, amen. You know, that's what I told them a couple of weeks ago. Talked about that kids, sometimes you take kids and snatch them out of the road. Throw them out of the way. Pull them and throw. You know, it wasn't gentle about it. You hurt me. They cry a little bit. Well, we're trying to save your life. We weren't trying to hurt you. We're trying to save your life. And sometimes the pastor needs to snatch them out, amen. But it's not always fun, but it's always needed, amen. And, you know, the pastor, you know, as the Christ being the example, we should be willing to lay our life down and give our life to the sheep, amen. Now, that means die out to your will, die out to the way you want it, die out to popularity, die out to those things, and die out to what the world... Come, somebody say amen. And, you know, we find it in John 10, 1 through 16, 18, 19 through there, we find in John 10, we find that Jesus talks about being the good shepherd, but he talks about the wolf and he talks about the hireling, amen. You know, the office of a pastor should be anointed. It should be a shepherd. He should be a pastor in the local church. You know, where I was raised up, they always had church splits over there. And they'd grow up another one over there. And I guess within a 20-mile radius of my house, there's probably 48, 50 churches. And there's not many people here. There's not many people there. Well, they just get mad and take the choir and go over there. They get some and go over there. And through these splits over time, I'd see that there'd be a couple of deacons that would take over the church. I say take over the church used to. Let me re-clarify. I would see deacons that would take care of the church. And then when I was young, I thought they were just trying to be boss. But see, what happened, they would be without a pastor. They would be without a shepherd. And they'd have to do it themselves. And they would try to protect, and they would try to rescue sheep, and they would try to do these things. And when a pastor would come in and want to do things, they're still in protect mode. They're still in suspicion mode. Let me tell you what, you'll never go anywhere and find a perfect pastor. Never find a perfect shepherd but Jesus. You'll never find a perfect sheep. Can you say amen? Now, I want you to know that when they had a perfect sheep, you know what they did with it? They sacrificed it. So if we got a couple in here, I want you to be at the back of the room by the door. Just in case. But you know what they do? They nurture, they protect, they instruct. Amen. You know, when I was young, a young man, I really didn't want to be instructed. Rebellion don't want to be instructed. Amen. Remember, the pastor is responsible for the sheep. Amen. You know, then we see some pastors got this thing, this is what they'll say. They got this thing that they'll say something like, well, the shepherd goes, and when the lamb goes out, they break his leg. There's nothing in Scripture that tells us that the shepherd ever broke a lamb's leg. I mean, it sounds good from a pastor saying, like, if you don't straighten up, we're going to break your leg. That sounds pretty good for Billy. He's only got one leg. And it doesn't sound too good for him. He's only got one leg, so I'm going to be good. But, you know, I believe if you got to whip somebody and beat somebody and make them do right, that you probably got the wrong, something wrong, can you see me? I think the shepherd leads out and the sheep should follow, but I think the shepherd should be leadable, and I think the shepherd's intentions should be good. I would imagine, now just think this for a second. Now, I'm off script. Now, listen to him off thought for a second. I believe that when things are bad and things are hard and the rain is in the far distance, that the shepherd would take them across maybe an area of rough land to get them to the water, to get them where it is, because that's where the grass is going to grow. I mean, instead of going way long round, going the way that they take them, sometimes it's a little harder than usual to get there. But who knows, the shepherd's intent is good to get them there in time. Can somebody say amen? But you know, there's really no way that would do. And that's kind of cruel that we need to break a lamb's leg to draw them close to you. You know, Jesus, for the most part here in John 10, he's speaking to Pharisees. And he's speaking to those that are there out. And in the first verse, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now Jesus said, now there's a correct way to get in. And he said, and I'm telling you, any other way you get in, he said, they thieves and robbers. So he really was speaking about religion. He was really speaking about the Pharisees. He told the Pharisees, he said, you lay them with heavy burdens. He said, and you do thus and thus. He said, you won't lift one finger to get them into the kingdom of God. You know, the church is not a place to tell us what's wrong. The church should be a place to tell us who is right, and his name is Jesus. You know, he said, but he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth unto his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Now, you know, the porter's the type of the Holy Spirit. The porter actually means the doorkeeper. How many of y'all believe the Holy Spirit will keep the door for you? Amen. And the word openeth, that actually means to thrust open. It means to disclose. You know what the Holy Spirit wants to do? He wants to disclose the shepherd to us. He wants to show that the shepherd's heart. He wants to show us those things that pertain for our good and for our better. He said, any of them come any other way? He said that they're thieves. He said to him, the porter, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth to his own sheep, and he leadeth them out. He said he called to his own. He hears them. You know, I've had people say, I don't hear the Spirit of God like some people. Well, can you read the Word of God? Well, you can even hear it. You can get a Bible app. You can do it. You can get there. You go to YouTube and find it being read. Amen. But you see what he's wanting to do? He wants you to hear it. When you hear it, it's that part that doesn't twist up. It's that part that makes sense. That part that's part of the last part you heard. You know, people, you don't have to twist it up. The Word of God is plain. He said, and he put forth his own sheep and goeth forth to them or before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So you ask that. You say, well, I've got off course. Well, you got off course. But see, when we're really his sheep, we'll hear his voice, and we'll know. How would I know that? Because Jesus wouldn't act that way. Jesus wouldn't do it that way. When you have to nullify some part of the word to be right, you're listening to the wrong voice. He said, but they follow him. What did Jesus say? He goes before them. He goes first. I know I had a guy I knew him for years, and they talked about how scared he was. And he got home and looked like somebody had broke in the house, and simply somebody left the door open. It swung open in there. So he sent his wife and children in the door. And asked John, said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm calling the law. That's why they go in there. The shepherd doesn't do that. The shepherd goes in first. The shepherd leads. He has a voice. He speaks. He's clear. And come on, you know what? You have to listen up. You know, my daughter sounds a lot like my wife for many years. She sounded like my wife because why? She was around her. She spoke after. And so they kind of grew apart in voices because their voices changed. And now I hear my granddaughter. My granddaughter sounds like my daughter. You know why? Because it's exposure and you hear the voice and you can identify. But they call now. I can tell who's who. I don't ever mess up and think my wife's my daughter and my grand. Y'all listening to me? See, when you have a relationship and you're in it, you'll hear that voice. And the voice, come on, and when you hear the wrong voice, you'll flee. You'll move away from it. You know, how many know that sheep are word-fed and spirit-led? You know, in this parable, Jesus speaks to them that understood, or those that, but he spake unto them, but they understood not. He's talking about the Pharisees. He said not. He said what things they were, and he spake of them. And then said Jesus again, verily I say unto you that I am the door of the sheep. And all that came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Now, isn't that amazing that who are they? Now, you have some types and shadows there, so who are they? Who are these sheep? Who's the ones that sheep? They have to be the prophets. They have to be the patriarchs. They have to be the ones that heard his voice. And he said that they didn't follow another. They stayed true to the Messiah. They stayed true to that Jesus was going to come, or whom they know the Messiah would come. They stayed true to that, and they didn't get off track. Now, some got off track. They were already off track, and they didn't hear the voice nor know the voice, can you say? And what was the voice? The voice was the Word of God. It's what was written down. And Jesus said again, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep, and he that come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep that do not hear them, the sheep do not hear them. I am the door, and by if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall be saved. He shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Amen. He said, I'm going to lead you. Amen. His way is a way of eternity. Not earned out, he said he shall be. Amen. You know, but he said, the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I've come that they might have life and have that life more abundantly. You know, we quote that scripture a lot. We said, you know, the thief cometh to steal and to rob. And we quote that pretty quick. But you know what the difference is that you're a sheep following a shepherd. Yeah. You're a sheep. You hear the voice of him. Come on. Yeah. You know, I heard people tell me something other. And I know he wouldn't say that. I know that's not what God would do. I know he wouldn't act that way. Amen. You know, his voice is love and correction. Yes, it is the voice of correction. It is. But you know what? In his correction is a way out. In his correction is a way to love. He said, I'm the good shepherd. So if he's the good shepherd, he doesn't intend anything bad for you. Can somebody say amen? I've seen people tell me this and tell me that, how they go through some tribulation and God was teaching them something. You got a hard head because he said you'll hear his voice and he'll lead you out to good pasture. He's not going to lead you out somewhere to fall over a cliff. He said, I'm the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, you know, looks the same. You know, the church world is full of hirelings. Guarantee you, if they don't get paid, they ain't going. I guarantee you, if nothing in them for them, they're not going to be there. Here we go. He said, but he's a hireling, and he's not the shepherd. Those own sheep are not. He said, he seeth the wolf and coming, and they leaveth the sheep. He leaveth the sheep and flee. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Didn't say kill them, but it said scatter them. See, what the enemy wants to do is scatter the sheep. Come on. Now, the hireling, you know, he's there. You know, he's there. Now, I would think about this. I would think if the shepherd's not careful, he would use the hireling on convenience. He needs to be somewhere. He's going to the party. He's going to the wedding or wherever he's going, whatever, wherever shepherds go. I don't know really where they go. I haven't been on a vacation in about 6 years, so I don't know. I don't know where they go, but I'm going to go, amen. And the more I say I'm going to go, the more it looks like I'm putting off going, amen. But I tell you what, when my mama said she's going to whip you, after a while she got off vacation and she come whip to me. Can you say amen? So I'm going to get on vacation. And he said that, well, the wolf comes, you know, that the hireling sees, and the wolf doesn't see the value of the sheep. Let me tell you what, the shepherd sees the value of the sheep no matter what comes in. Good or bad, no matter where they're at, no matter what's happening. He said that he'll flee. He said, and the wolves catching them scatters them. He said, the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. He said, again, he said, I am the good shepherd. Amen. He said, I am the good shepherd. And I know, he said, and know my sheep. And I'm known of mine. Jesus said that. He said, I'm the good shepherd. Let me just put it out there for you. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's not out to be. Let me tell you what. Everybody, I've seen pastors skin sheep. They'll get after them, son, and it's going to be, we're going to take the list. Amen. We're going to get the big bad list, and we're going to whip everybody on the list. Let me tell you what. You can skin a sheep one time, but you can about flock him about twice a year. Or her, you can flock him about twice a year. But you know, you got to lay down, get uncomfortable. you got to get handled. And I don't know if I want him talking to me like that. Well, you'd rather have the pastor talk to you in an uncomfortable way or the devil talk to you in a soothing way and lead you away. Amen? He said, but I know my sheep and they know me. That's what the enemy wants to do is separate us from the Father. He wants to separate us from Jesus and make you think that you're not important. No, he knows you. He's your shepherd. And what we ought to do is run in under him, and anybody trying to pastor, trying to shepherd, ought to know who he's shepherding and what's going on with his sheep. Amen. Well, you know that by the Spirit. Come on. Not by gossip, but by the Spirit. Can you say amen? As the Father knoweth me, I know, even I know I the Father. He said, lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, listen to him. He said, other sheep which I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring that they may hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now who is those guys? Well, that's simply the Gentiles. Well, yeah, see, how many of y'all, we never need to lose sight of that Jesus came to the Jew first. Father came to Israel, and that's something we lose sight of, that we lose sight of Israel. We really need to be on our guard and start praying for Israel. They're attacking, and in Gaza Strip, they're having problems, but you know it's a tragedy. They wounded 50 or 80 of those people trying to burn tires and burn the town down. You know, they just acted on business over there, took care of business. But they need to come to the true knowledge of who Christ is. And we need to know that God's elect is Israel. And we know, and who he's talking to Israel, he talked to the Pharisees. He's talking about that they're hirelings. He's telling them that they don't know. And he said they're another. But he said that he's the good shepherd. Then he telling them, I got other. You know what? We use this verse. We use this verse. All in the church, we use it. I had to grow out of this verse. We thought that the other sheep, the other fold, the other sheep, we thought those were people with a different word down the road. Well, they you know, they don't baptize like us, so they're a different fold. Let me tell you my common ground. My common ground is Jesus. That Jesus died for you. He gave his life for you. He raised from the dead. He cleansed you from all unrighteousness. He willingly gave his life for you. That's what the shepherd does. He gives. Not religion or not die for you. People won't die for you. An idea won't die for you. A move won't die for you. Things that are out there will not die for you. But there's a Savior that died. His name is Jesus. He said, I give my life for the sheep. Not some, but his whole life. He said, no. And he said, I know the Father. You know what he said? He said, me and the Father's on the same program. He said, whatever the Father's doing, how many of y'all Jesus time after time? And Thomas said, he said, well, how do we know the way? You hadn't told us, showed us the way. He said, Thomas, I've been this long with you that you don't know the way. He said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We don't use the word Trinity, but we know the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Can somebody say amen? And I believe they're working and they're moving, amen. You know, no man, listen, isn't it amazing that it's not that hard, but we understand. They said that no man knoweth the Father except the Son show him. But back up, he said no man knoweth the Christ or know Jesus except the Father reveal him. Then when you reveal to Jesus, then Jesus' job is to show us the Father. It's called divine order. Can somebody say amen? What he wants to do is reveal it. He said, I know him and he knows me and what we're working together. And I lay my life down for the sheep. It's a plan, amen. He said, the other sheep I have. You see, now, that has to be the Gentiles. That has to be us. I mean, it's not the strange group around the corner. You know who I believe? And I'm telling you, everybody going to get saved. Y'all ready? Get your pencil and papers out. I'm pulling names today. I'm going to tell you, everybody getting saved today. Everybody that has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior is going to be saved. Whether they Pentecost, Catholic, Jew, where they live over there, whether they're Protestant, somebody listen to me, whether they're Jehovah's Witnesses, whether they're Mormon, wherever they are sitting up in here. CC, let me tell you what, if you have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're in good shape. But if you don't, you in trouble. Won't talk to you before you leave, amen. He's the truth, the life, the way. He's the good shepherd. He lays life down for us. And we that in ministry, we are pastors and we are shepherds and we are called to people that you have to be willing to give even whenever it seems like it hurts. You got to be willing to give even when it's not popular. You need to be willing to give when it doesn't feel good. You know, sometimes up here it's fun, you know, we laugh at it. But you know, there's other times it's not fun. The other time said, I'd rather you do it. Amen. Well, come on now. But we're going to push in. Hold on. But he said, and therefore doeth my Father love them because I lay my life, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man take it from me. Isn't that beautiful? No man take it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment I received, who? Of my Father. My Father said, you can lay it down. And my Father said, you can pick it up. Willingly did he win. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. How many of you know Jesus had a will? Now, we don't have a man that became God. We have a God that became man. Not the God that became man. Come on. You know, a pastor has to invest in the Word of God. We have to stick with the Word, stay with the Word of God. And if we're going to flow with the people, if we're going to flow in the gifts, I believe one of the most important things as a pastor is that we can have the Word of knowledge and the Word of wisdom. And we might even call for a gift of tongues and interpretation, whatever that God used, come on. You know, we talked about the list of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. Amen. We have some wonderful help there. Have them online and go online and listen and hit that notification and get caught up on them. Get caught up on the fivefold ministry. But you know what we found out is that whenever the evangelist goes, he answers to the church. The church is not supposed to answer to the evangelist. The evangelist is supposed to answer to the church, and they're supposed to go. And when the pastor comes, the pastor answers to Jesus. Come on. And he has to work in knowledge of the Word and work in the will of the Father and work in those things. And how many of y'all know it's not always easy? But you know that the pastor has responsibility to shoot you straight. But I got to be careful because we live in 2021. I got to be careful when I say shoot you straight. But you know, if somebody's not telling you the truth, it's time that the Word of God come forth. It's time that people quit candy coating it. It's time people quit cushioning it. It's time people quit putting something on time and giving you a lick of sugar with your medicine. You take your medicine because the Bible say that a merry heart worketh as a medicine and your afflictions be light one day. But let me tell you, God's able to heal you. Amen. I told him this morning, I said, you know, I didn't really realize how good my mama was doing. And now I wish I'd stayed there, got a few more licks. Got over to bed. Oh, you through, Mama. Are you sure you threw mom? I did say it. That was me. That wasn't Jeff. That's my little brother. That wasn't Jeff. That was me. I lied about that. You want to whip me for lying to? How many of you know it would have done you better? I said it would have done you better. Amen. How many of you ever lied to your mama? It's only three of us. We know the rest. So you know what that means? It's three of us telling the truth and the rest of y'all are, you know. Well, you see, if you just wanted to lie to her, you lied. Come on. Anyway. But it's our responsibility. Come on. To call it like it is, it's our responsibility. But if we really, if God calls a man to be a pastor, God calls a man to be a shepherd, he can lead sheep and speak to sheep. It's a communication thing. He said, they know my voice and I know their voice. He said, I'm speaking to them and they're speaking back to me. How in the world could a sheep speak back? Because it's metaphorically that you and I are to come to the place, know what he's saying. Now, you know, it's an amazing thing to us. When somebody said, hey, free lunch, we don't have no problem with that. We interpreting that. Amen. But he said, somebody got to cook. I mean, I don't think he's talking to me. Yeah, we was talking to you, man. But you know that pastors are, you know what pastors should be? Should be hands-on. Pastors should be hands-on with the sheep and know who you're talking about. Know that. It was one of my lovely parishioners in here. Told me she went to a Catholic church, and this is what she told me. She said she enjoyed being here and having the ministry to speak to her and the pastor talk. She said, we went to the Catholic church, and the priest was like rock stars. We didn't get to talk to them. Is that what you tell me, Miss Linda? Yeah. You know what? Jesus wants us all to be the same in the idea of family and coming to the Father. Come on. And what we are to do is accept each other where we are, who we are, know each other. Come on. You know, this is what the devil said. If they really know who you are, they wouldn't like you. Well, if you knew who they really was, you wouldn't like them. Just make out like you know and they know. Now we going on because we all what? Know. Now, I don't need to know about all your dirty laundry. Amen. Come on now. Some of that stuff be thrown away and bought new ones. Amen. Anyway. But, you know, as we push in and as we hold on, that we find out. How many of you know that Jesus is our shepherd? But the psalmist told us that the Lord is our shepherd and I shall not want. He leads us out. He prepares for us. He does those things. He anoints our head with oil. We see a perfect picture that we know that sheep, come on, shepherds need sheep and sheep need shepherds. I said shepherds need sheep and sheep need shepherds and shepherds lead sheep, but sheep make sheep. Yeah. Now, it's pretty sound. It's pretty sound doctrine that sheep make sheep. Yeah. Now, every now and then you'll get a goat in, a goat to go in, amen. My friend of mine had some goats, and he had one field on this side, and the goat going this way, and he's got to go under the fence, over the fence, through the fence, no matter, as long as that goat's on the other side of the fence that you want him on. You know what he did? He outsmarted the goat. You know what he did? He put steps on both sides of the fence. And the goat just go over, do the goat thing, and he come back over, go back over this thing. Kept his water on this side, kept his extra feed on this side, and he'd go out and be a goat. So if you feed a goat, ride a goat to come sit down either. Come on. Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, y'all know Jesus, it's understanding that Jesus will come and he'll separate the sheep from the goats. So don't be all about it, amen. You know, I don't know about them. You don't know. I don't want to know their past in a negative way. You know, but what he does, what Jesus does, what the good shepherd does, he leads and guides in the times of darkness. The psalmist said, though I in the valley of the shadow, now you ask going through, can you say amen? That's not staying. Some people rather stay in the valley. He'll guide you through. Now, I can't promise you that you're not going to see dark times. I can't promise. In fact, I'm going to tell you that night comes no matter where, how long you live. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He take me past want. Come on, you know that when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, that means you're going through. But how many of you know that you don't grow very much on the mountain? You grow more in the valley. Can you say amen? You know that whenever that shepherd knew, when I'm talking about being a shepherd, when I'm talking about coming under and they know him and they know their voice, how many of you know that the shepherd had a shepherd's rod? Now, he had the shepherd's rod, and if I understand correctly, the shepherd's rod, he would put his rod out, and when the sheep come under, they'd count him. Yeah. They'd count them. There's one, two, three. Got two missing. Where's Billy Bob? Billy, what you doing? I'm over at Bob's. He was Billy Bob, man. He was bobbing that day. And you know that sometimes whenever we come to that place to understand, you have to come to the shepherd, and the shepherd has to direct and keep. And when he put his rod out, that rod, they come under, they get counted. That means they're coming under. And how many of you know that the rod is also a rod of correction? That when a sheep is about to fall off a cliff and in a narrow place, he scooped that sheep. I'm sure he didn't just tap him and just, come on, get over. I'm sure he just hooked that sheep and move him out of the way. The little hook on the back of the shepherd was to catch him by the leg and pull him out. Pull him, separate him out. Look, if you need to talk to Pastor Jerry, catch me by the leg, pull me out. You know, it's a rod of correction. It's a rod. You know, if we came here and told you every little fancy, cool thing, never challenged you, never brought you to the place to check your life, I would be failing you, and all that went before you has failed you too. You know, I just don't like the way he said it. Well, now believe it or not, now I know this sounds crazy. Believe it or not, I don't like having to say everything I say. I know it's going to make waves. Come on. But that same rod of protection, you know, that same shepherd cares about sheep. And the shepherd cares about where you walk. It cares about where you go. And they have to have their hoofs trimmed. Yeah. Sometimes the Medicare don't feel good. I know you feel like sitting up in that chair and that music going, do-de-do. And that woman grabbed you by the foot, and I'm on profile. She said, "Will you be today?" And she says nice things. But let me tell you, sometimes when a shepherd manicures, it ain't pretty knife. Sometimes you got to be flopped on your back. And you know, and if your hooves are not trimmed, if your hooves are not straightened up, and they'll become infected, and you'll be later, you won't be able to walk. You'll not be able to walk the correct way. So if a shepherd trim you out and come here and tell you something you don't like, if the word of God get with you, and let me tell you what, that if we'll get to that place and he'll get our walk, cause our steps to be established by the Lord, that we'll walk in him. You don't have to know everything, but walk in what you know. Walk in who you know. His name is Jesus. Can somebody say amen? You know, that the shepherd, he gets them out of freezing cold. He gets them out of rain. He gets them out of things. You know, he's a present. Everybody said present. The shepherd is present. I see some people try to be pastors, and they have a little success on the road. And when they have a little success on the road, they're on the road, and their sheep suffer. What are we going on? And you know that he said, the psalmist said, he anointeth my head with oil. I mean, you know, sometimes he got to pour a little oil in. Amen. I've been preaching pretty last few days, last few times. And I don't know, I was talking to Brother Parker, one of them. I said, I'm going to guess next week, week after next, I'm going to pour in some oil. I seen Brother Clendine, I'm watching one of his videos. He was preaching. He was trying to get them to repent. He went to a church where they'd written in the song books, and everybody was running around with everybody. And I don't mean to Costco's. They were running around and having all these things, and he was preaching, and he preached Acts 2:38. He preached everything you know, and then after a week, his wife asked him, he said, when are you going to pour in some oil? He said, pour in oil? He said, Acts is bouncing off of him, he said. Now, let's not get that bad that an axe glance off of us. Let's get to that place that we can be our hooves trimmed, get us a preacher, let the preacher do what would that be called, pedicure? Would it be a lamicure? Or would it be curing a lamb? I know some places they're getting you ready for the barbecue, but we're not talking about that. Amen. And you know that the shepherd would use oil and he would pour in the oil. You know, he would pour in the oil. And you know what? They'd have things that happen. Shepherds have things that rams fight. I mean, you know that rams get all about themselves. But, you know, somebody gets hurt. I believe that people get rough with each other. You can get somebody hurt. And you know that really what happened whenever the rams would butt use and getting ready to go, and they got testosterone going, that they run over them. Amen. What am I saying? I say ministry sometimes can be zealous and run over tender lambs. We should have love one for another. We should have patience with each other. Can somebody say amen? You know that whenever we get to that place to understand that God attempts to have something to happen in our life, he wants us to have it through a collective of the body of Christ, called the body of Christ. Paul called it the body of Christ. Jesus taught it as the vine. He taught it as the good shepherd. He taught it as having a flock that we should be part of, that we're not only hearing, we're receiving, and we're speaking. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And they have this thing, and I'm getting close. They have this fly, and this fly was taken and lay a larva in the nose or in the ears of the sheep. How many know things is sweet savor, smells good, is tempting outside. Things get whispered in their ear. Then after a while, that larva will begin to grow in their sinus cavity or in their ears and begin to take them over and begin to do things. You know, it's like a spiritual attack. How many of you know that the enemy wants to lay eggs in you? He wants to lay something in you and let it grow. Come on. Come on. And you know that it even causes panic in herds that have so many flies that they cause the herd to panic and cause things to happen. Let me tell you what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants the church to panic. The enemy wants the church to flee. The enemy wants to, come on somebody. He wants us to hear his voice. He wants to lead us. He wants to lead us into good pasture. And sometimes you got to have your hoofs trimmed. And sometimes you got to have some oil poured in your ear. Come on. And that larva, it'll go through the tender part of the ear and the nasal part of it, and it'll cause an irritation. And after a while, it'll rub his head, and after a while, it begins to beat his head. And it has been said that they severely injured themselves trying to beat their head because there's something in their head. You know, that makes sense to me, that the enemy speak to people, and after a while, they're beating their heads, trying to make sense of something. That's an attack of the enemy. Well, you know, it doesn't take too long, but it's a process. Somebody says it's a process. Amen. Amen. But you know, he can survive this infection if there's some kind of oil put in there. Something happens, and you know that there's another call. It's called scab, and it's actually the spread in the head by the rubbing, and if something begins to happen, that it starts out butting each other and something out. Let me tell you what. Billy goat's butt. You know, and what happens, you know, that if something's not done, and it was once said that you know, that whenever a shepherd has his sheep, he cares about his sheep, and he doesn't care for one sheep over the other sheep. And when you're trimming nails, and the Word of God says, teach me, O Lord, that I'll walk in your truth, and unite my heart into the fear of your name. He said, keep me. The Apostle Paul said, not that I've already attained. He said, but where I have attained thereof, he said, I walk therein. I want to tell you this morning, where you are, walk where you are. Amen. Walk it. Give God glory. Amen. And you get it straightened out. Who knows? Galatians said that we walk in the Spirit as he in the Spirit. He said that we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. You have to take some extra precautions. And you know that probably 5% of the lambs miscarry. And you know that I know this sounds grown up folks in here. How many of y'all don't grown up folks? Amen. But you know, one of the biggest things with sheep, when you have sheep, is sexually transmitted diseases. They get chlamydia. They get things that's easily passed one to another, and they get and this causes abortion. It causes them to lose sheep. It causes them to miscarry. It causes them to do this thing. What does that mean? How many of y'all know the Apostle Paul, every time he talked to the church, not many times did he fail to talk about sexual immorality. thieving. He talk about division. He talk about these things. Why? Because usually whenever the enemy does those things, he tries to take people to something else, not to the Lord, but takes them to something else. Can you say amen? And you know, and things happen, and these things, whenever they happen, it's common. You know how common it is? It is so common in the world, it's you're like, they have 4 million infections of sexual disease in America in 2018. You know what they used to, they had a song, and I didn't know, because I was in church, I had to learn who's zooming who. Well, that's exactly what it means. But me, I didn't know. I was thinking about a kazoo. I didn't know. You know what we ought to do? The shepherd preaches purity. He preaches for us to be separate from the world. Jesus wanted us to follow him. Jesus wanted us to care about each other. He wanted to speak in a way that we understand. Now, how many of you know that's some grown folk stuff, but most people in here understood it. You know, the Word of God never tells us nothing for our bad. He tells us for our good. Amen. You know, I believe God gives people time to get their lives back right. How many of y'all believe that? I believe thank God for grace and mercy. I thank God for correcting and straightening me up. I thank God that for showing me the way and loving me like I am. I thank God he didn't show me everything was wrong with me the first week or the first year or the first 10. And the rest of that's none of y'all's business. Amen. You know what he wants? He wants to be the good shepherd. He wants you to converse with him. And isn't that amazing? Now, listen to me. I want you to stand with me. Now, isn't it amazing that whenever you go through stuff, the enemy tries to see that heaven is silent? When you go through stuff and the enemy is rustling up, I find that's the time I got to push in the most. Amen. That's the time that I feel less anointed. That's the time that I feel less prepared. That's the time that I feel the less ready to get out and get it done. But I found out in that time I can speak a word and something begin to change. I know that heaven is open and he hears my voice because my shepherd knows me. I know him and he knows who I am. Amen. But you have to believe that. You have to receive that and speak out to him. Amen. You know, if we would pray about half as much, 25%, as much as we do politics or complain. Oh, Brother Jerry got spiritual. He talked about politics. You know, you got to be careful that politics is not your religion. Amen. I said, you got to be careful. Come on. Well, same thing with complaining. A lot of people said, you know, he talked about sexual morality, and he's talking about the two guys on the end. He's not talking about me. But let me get with you worry bugs. You worry about everything. I told you, I came from a family of chronic worriers. My mother worried about people getting in car wrecks that didn't even own cars. Amen. So get a ride with somebody, amen. See, what I'm telling you is it doesn't have to be a big thing that the shepherd cares about you. He loves you. He wants to restore you, get you back where you are. He wants you to open up to him and hear. And sometimes you need your trims cut, your nails cut. And sometimes you need a stop button. You need to be interfered between the budding. And then we need to get to that place and there's something wrong and we need to have a life that's moral to him so we won't follow you. You know, they got some big guys out there. I guess his net worth is 6-8 million. You know what he's teaching them? He tells them, go out there and be as moral as you want. Jesus died for you. Just go do it. You know, it's really not you sinning. It's your body is sinning. There's no room for that in the body of Christ. Jesus died for me. He took stripes for me. He was nailed to a cross for me. And his sacrifice means something to me. And if you're looking for somebody perfect, you'll have to look somewhere else. But, you know, they're out there and they're teaching people and telling them it's okay, you know, just go be yourself, come back soon. No, I'm telling you that you need to take Jesus with you. You need to hear his voice. You need to speak to him. You need to be directed by him. You need to come out of your past where you won't last. Look for the future in him and find a place in him and know that he called you, that you are the sheep of his pasture. And he won't lead you in a bad place. But sometimes we got to cross some ground. We got to cross some uncomfortable places to get to the good pasture. You know, we got to move on the other side. The stream has shifted a little bit. Now it's a bed of rocks. We got to get through this and get where the stream is flowing. We got to get past what's going on. We got to get past goosebumps. Got to get past all the good little feelings, amen, and get past your feelings all the way. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But most of all, I don't want to offend the word in you. When I offend the word in you, I'm in trouble. That's what we need to worry about. This morning, I want to tell you that you have a shepherd that loves you. He's went out before you, amen. He said, I want to reveal the Father to you. I'm going to show you the Father. And he said, the porter opens the door. Jesus said that when the Spirit of truth comes, said he'll lead and guide you into all truth. He said that porter, sling that door open and make a disclosure of who he is. Now, in all this, we never read where the shepherd drove anybody. The Bible said that he goes out. The psalmist said he leadeth me. He goes before us. He's made a way before us. Amen. Sometimes you don't know how you're going to make it. He goes before you. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to do. He goes before you. You don't know how you're going to go through it. He goes before you. You don't know. I want to encourage you this morning that we have a shepherd that cares. And this is what pastors should do. Now, do you think that when a lamb's being flocked that he feels good about this? What did he do? I would think that any animal, when you start around their neck, would think it's an attack. But after a while, he gets there and he sees it's the shepherd, and he sees it's the shepherd that loves him. And as he begins to remove that wool, and I imagine it's a cool breeze. There's something there that never hasn't been here in a long time, or maybe something that never happened. There's an exchange, a transition. There's something happening in the spirit. And he's getting him ready. And when he trims his hoofs, you know, the sheep in the natural probably doesn't think, you know, it's a good thing I'm getting this shepherd manicure. Man, I tell you, I've been waiting on one of these. Well, they probably pulling that foot and jerking it and thinking it's an attack and all that. You know, and sometimes, you know, the flesh thinks that when the word of God comes, it's an attack. But I imagine after he puts his little foots down and gets it going, it's a pretty good deal here. So what I'm telling you, the work of the Spirit of God should make us better, not make us bitter. The Spirit of God should lighten our souls, not heavy us with burdens. He said, told that the Pharisees whom Jesus spoke to, he said, you burden them with hard things. You load them up. He said, you don't help them. Won't lift a finger. But the good pastor, our good, good Father, loves us where we are and who we are. This is what we need, amen. And be willing to do it, amen. Precious Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you, Father God, that you care about us, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we are just sheep in your fold, Lord God, not some strange us, them, and they. But Father, we know that there's Israel, Lord, and then there's just us, Lord God. And Father, they out there don't have to be like us, Lord, but they have to come under the guidelines of your voice and come under the guidelines of what you say. And Father God, we want to trust you today in a greater way and know that some things, Lord, are kind of tough, but they're tough for my good, Lord. Some things, Lord God, are uncomfortable in the beginning, but the end result's a good thing. And I thank you, Father God, for it being a good thing. And I ask you to touch, heal, deliver, just pour in the oil, Father God, in our hearing and our lives, Father God. And we resist the enemy, Lord God. We resist the thoughts of the enemy. We resist the attacks of the enemy, Lord. And that we take into captivity, Father God, every thought through the obedience of Christ, Father God, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we hold to your word and what you said. And we're going to recognize that's something you would say, Father God, because we've seen your Son say it. And we know the Holy Spirit would say it because we know you said it through the Son. And today, Father, we just speak healing, Lord, in our walk, Lord God. We speak restoration, just each and every lamb, Father God. Every lamb where he's 6 months, 6 years, 100, Lord God, or 6 days. That you just heal us, Lord God, and direct our lives, Father God. And cause Jesus to be the one that we hear through the Holy Spirit. Father, we just ask the porter to just open that gate, Lord, and let us hear his voice as he goes before us, Father God, that we'll be obedient to follow, Lord. And your word says we'll not follow another, but we'll follow you. And I thank you, Father God, that your son would never lead us away from you. He always lead us towards you and in your presence. We thank you this day for healing and restoration spiritually, physically, mentally, financially. We thank you, Father God, for being the answer in these troubling times, Father God. Let us be, Father God, in that place that we can hear your voice and follow on in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give him a big hand clap. Amen.